Speaking the truth to the state capitol, this is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Riggins, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, Monday, March 27th. It is 43 degrees out, but feels like 37. I'm still hoping that spring is right around the corner. I'm Jack Riggins. I'm back, restoring American values, bringing common sense to the capital city. Johnny Cadillac's executive producing the show. Got a little raspy voice coming back from Texas, where I was doing some spring training to hit that little white ball that I love so much. So if you're ever wondering why I am constantly looking at the weather and talking about it, I have to admit it is because Midwest Nebraska golf season is almost here. I hope you enjoyed last week. We had a few different personalities on. Doug Fitzgerald, always standing in, doing a great job. Dan Parsons, I also believe. So hope you enjoyed that this week. Generally speaking, we have decently full shows. Maybe not tomorrow. Half show tomorrow. And we'll go from there. A lot going on in the news, both nationally and locally. I have a lot of stories. The Rick Stein Recognition Hotline, 402-479-1400, is going to be open all show, as well as the text line. So love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on air, or if you call in, you know how it is, the People's Platform. I love to hear whatever you're thinking, Lincoln or Lancaster County, about anything going on in the city, state, or nationally. I have a few stories I've picked out, just to kind of go through, share some opinions and thoughts. I guess first, I read this weekend, or maybe it was this morning. Sometimes I get confused on when I'm doing my show prep, that Nelnet's going to eliminate more than 500 jobs. I was sad to see that, because Nelnet, you know, is a major employer here in Lincoln. Obviously in that core business, focusing on student loans. And I just, you know, to see the Department of Education transfer over 1 million borrows from Nelnet to another federal servicer hurts. One, because A, I'm biased, but I think Nelnet probably does a bang up job of loan servicing. And certainly the federal government can do that, can change it. But in fact, you know, the trickle-down impact is that, you know, over 550 folks are going to be out of work. And in a state where our unemployment is really low, and we've done some stories here about certain jobs that are available, you know, and we're trying to kind of niche out those last few percentages and keep everybody employed. It's just kind of sad to see. I have to admit that that's quite a big hit for Nelnet, and more importantly, to those 500 associates, or estimated 550. Yeah, just, you know, some of these things, you know, big picture with the federal government, and a lot of people say, oh, well, it doesn't matter, and, you know, that's affecting a lot of people, including a good business here, and hate to see that. Absolutely. Staying local, I have to say, it's starting to make sense to me. Again, we've got a story about Nelnet and the masks that I'm going to talk about here ending up on KLIN.com. Titled Mask Requirements Ending at Several Nebraska Hospitals. Tom Stanton did a great job there. I bring this up because I had to do my regular Veterans Administration check-in. And I don't think I've told this story on the air, but as I walked into the building, there were some nice, gracious, probably veterans, if not just volunteers, standing in their red jackets. And by the way, we have a great vets facility here. VA is what I'm talking about. The new facility there on 70th and O, almost. But I noticed everybody was masked. This is just 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, they pointed to me and said, you know, can you get a mask? And I didn't realize I'd walked by the masks. So, of course, I said, you bet, I'll go grab one. So I grabbed one of those masks that's been proven to not do anything for anybody. And I kind of giggled. But, you know, why make waves, right? And I did my appointment. And I was sitting there with the doctor. And I'm thinking the whole time, is this because it's a federal building? Is this why, you know, it is? Because I've been on other federal installations kind of post-COVID, and there weren't mask mandates. So I was like, okay, hospital, masks, federal. I could kind of see it, you know, the linkage of the hospital and the federal government, you know, playing this thing out as much as they want to. And so I took the liberty to ask my doctor. I said, hey, this isn't a political question. I don't want it to be. Is the masks a suggestion or is it mandatory? And she was like, well, it's mandatory. You know, and of course she's like, we all don't like it. Of course. I was like, okay, I just wanted to know what the federal government, you know, in their facilities like Veterans Administration were saying. So I put my mask back on and then I went and, sat down to get my blood drawn. And I noticed another veteran didn't have his mask on. You know, he was doing the I'm not doing it thing. That's fine. Doesn't bother me. But you have to, like, hit this kiosk to get in there for the blood draw. Take your number, right? And this one gentleman was just having a really hard time. Like, so one of the red coats came up to him. And so I got my number. I can remember it. It was 51. I did the screen, put my social security number, got my number, and then I sat down. So I sat down close enough because I wanted to hear what was going on. And this gentleman, he was mad at the VA because they didn't have all the appropriate cleansing material for that kiosk keyboard to get his blood drawn. And he was wearing his mask, and he had on, you know, once again, I'm going to say, if we're going to do masks, then at least get one of those N95 things, right? Not the little blue one the VA was handing out. But anyway, this gentleman, he was petrified to touch that screen, and he was petrified to get within 6 feet of somebody. Now, I'm not saying that that's not his right and that he can't feel that way. That's absolutely his right. But I was saddened because I could tell that that gentleman had essentially been brainwashed by major media and to somewhat our own federal government. And I felt sad that he's going to live until he maybe hears something different. He's going to live in this prison of COVID for God knows how long, maybe to the rest of his life. I just felt bad when honestly there's no health threat to him to touch that kiosk and get a number. And anyway, nobody knew what to do, right? Because it's like, well, he won't touch the number. It screws up the system. And so finally, I was like, well, the guy can just go in, you know, on my number. I mean, we can make this work. How many people do you think are out there that are like that right now? I don't know. But back to the story. I was surprised to see here on KLIN.com, but it kind of made sense based on the story I ran with the county commissioners and the emergency declaration. In a joint statement issued by Brian Boystown, CHI Health, Children's Hospital Medical Center, Madonna Methodist. Yeah, they're going to start making masks optional on April 3rd. It's not too far away. Well, that's good. I think that's the right choice. And then the next line in our story made sense to me. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is expected to end the public health emergency for COVID-19 on May 11th. Well, I'm going to guess, since I've been gone, that we haven't ended our public health emergency in the county commissioners. Maybe we have. But it does make sense to me, since I have noticed in my tenure here on the radio that the democratically controlled Lincoln County Commissioners, City Council, Mayor's Office, pretty much just follow lockstep whatever the federal government's doing. And so, twofold. Good job, hospitals, making the masks optional. It's about time. Number two, yeah, I'm really happy the Department of Health and Human Services is going to end the public health emergency on May 11th. Johnny, would you say that's 6 months too late, a year too late, a year and a half too late? When do you and your peers feel like the COVID quote-unquote emergency was over?
Well, I was just thinking about this earlier today because I think the last normal mask mandate we had, I want to say, ended February of last year, February, March. And I understand that the hospitals and health and health places would be a little longer, but it should have definitely been done by now.
Right. I mean, I'm with you on the hospitals. Like, listen, they're running a big institution. There's all kinds of things in there, germs and surgeries, and they do a great job keeping it clean. I mean, healthcare is actually really good in America. I know a lot of people would debate me on that, but I feel blessed every time I'm taken care of in American institutions. So, I mean, they're just being cautious, and that's cool. For the federal government and everybody in government to just jump on these bandwagons, and like I said, to find out we're still in a public health emergency here in this county just blows my mind. All right, Chris on the Rick Stein recognition text line. Again, love for all of you to call in or text on whatever subject. He is referencing the individual eyewitness at the VA. He is probably driving home alone with the mask on in his car also. Well, Chris, you probably see the world a little bit like I do as well. And I do find that funny as a joke, meaning your satire there. I don't know about the alone part. I think that's a little rib. And nonetheless, it's not illegal to say that on air, right? Well, you didn't say anything bad. You have a good comment. But to your point, again, or my point and your point, how long is this individual or several like it going to run with it and be, you know, if in fact they truly believe this? That's sad. And I agree. I do. I giggle every time I see somebody in their car with the mask on. I'm not saying they can't do it at all. I just know before the COVID craziness, that wasn't a common thing. And now I see it all the time. And I just traveled. So you go to the airports, you're going to see an influx of it. And, you know, people with, you know, bringing, you know, OxyClean with them to scrub down every surface. I just, at this point, I'm just more in disbelief that people can just go on and on with it. Again, it's their right to do it. But yeah, it just kind of makes it an oddity in society. And, yeah, I mean, we got people riding motorcycles with their mask on, but you know, that's their right and we'll let them do it. Doesn't mean we won't comment on it here and there. And so, we'll go from there. National news. If you're tracking this Nashville school shooting, six killed, three students, sounds like three either administrators or, you know, teachers, and the shooter is dead. I want to talk about this story a little bit, because they have identified the shooter as a transgender woman. And I think that people will twist on all political sides, you know, this, as President Biden already has done, about weapons, about transgender. And I don't think that's fair at all. Period. End of story. That is not fair at all. These things are about mental health, first and foremost. And every time one of these happens, we never discuss that. We never go down to the root cause. And it causes all of America to get in some kind of a kerfuffle, if you will. And I thought it was interesting because I'm going to link it to a story that was done by NPR about LGBT groups arming themselves recently. So I'll link those two together. We'll talk about it here on KLIN 1499.3.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we're back here. Quick 2 minutes before we get to second segment. Just in kind of open Monday, if you will. Phone lines are open as well as the text line. Got on a tangent there about masks. Didn't intend to, but it's a story that's going away, as well as Nelnet having to let some people go. Happy to pick that back up. I am going to link together this national story and this Nashville shooting with six dead. President making comments about assault rifles already. Looks like the shooter is a transgender woman. With a story that I think Fox News or somebody did a major thing on last week, but I found it. It's public radio in New Hampshire, and it's LGBT group arming up and learning to use weapons. I'm going to link those two together because it's going to be easy for people to want to throw all this in there. School shootings and any type of shooting, for the most part, is a mental health issue, right? But we never talk about that. And we're not going to solve that on this show, but I'm going to talk about the linkages between the two and where in this NPR story some of the views by the people putting it on are dangerous and wrong and feed into, honestly, both sides of politics on this issue. It's just not helpful. I also want to talk about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why? Because there's both a national story with our United States military and a local story that had I been here last week, I would have caught on to, but I didn't catch on to it in time. But I have no problem going back and discussing its impacts when diversity, equity, inclusion runs amok in organization and groups. Because it's happened nationally, and it's also happening right here in Lincoln. So we'll talk about those two things and whatever else you guys want to talk about. 1499.3 KLIN.
Drive Time Lincoln with the Commander Jack Riggins on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we're back. Second segment. I am Jack Riggins, the host of Drive Time Lincoln. Johnny Cadillac still producing behind the board there. Got off on a tangent first segment about masks and Nelnet, and it caught some fire, if you will. Again, call lines are open. Rick Stein, Recognition Hotline, 402-479-1400. Took a caller mid-break. We'll talk about that a little bit. And also, we're going to talk about this Nashville shooting and recent story that got some national attention out of NPR in New Hampshire in the LGBT community arming themselves and there's nothing wrong with that. But some of the language that was used in the NPR story is a little bit discerning, and I want to link them together because the national media and everyone is now running with, in Nashville, the shooter is a transgender woman. That's the information I have. When I hear that term, I believe that to be a man who is a trans woman. If I'm wrong on that, let me know. Stories say transgender woman, so I believe that to be a man who is a trans woman, and I think it will be easy for people to play politics with this, and I think that would be the wrong answer, and that's what I'm going to try to highlight in my two stories, as well as back locally, a local story with diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, kind of linking to the Pentagon, just to give everybody an idea of what this stuff is. But first, on the text line, back to the masks, Missy K on the text line. She writes, I'd like to know how many brain cells I've killed from lack of oxygen by wearing a mask at one of the premier healthcare facilities here. Over the last, 2 or 3 years, Missy K can't remember. That would be an interesting study. I have to admit, that would be an interesting study. Listen, it's a pain in the butt. We know the blue little ones don't work. If you're so inclined to wear a mask or if you need to wear one at your place of work, I would hope they would at least give you an N95? I've kind of forget. I think it's N95. But I'd like to see the data on that too, you know, given what they were there to protect us from. I think slowly but surely we're all moving past that. It says that the federal government and the Department of Health and Human Services is going to relax the emergency. I think it said May 11th. And I fully expect our town then will go, yay! And they will do it too. So all good there. Missy K and Chris, appreciate the comments there. And yeah, I mean, let's go to this story in Nashville. It's running, you're going to hear about it for the next, however, it's a tragedy. It stinks. Six were killed, three students at a young Christian private school by a 28-year-old female, which is interesting, right? I mean, even major news, you know, says this. It says identify as a 28-year-old female, but then says a transgendered woman. So maybe I'm wrong in saying that. Maybe the national reporters are getting this story wrong. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't. And the reason it doesn't matter is because every time we have a mass shooting or a school shooting, these are first and foremost mental health issues. And nowhere since I think Columbine brought this to the, you know, major psyche of all of us, nowhere have we seen major programs, major initiatives, major press to deal with what absolutely is the number one cause, which is mental health issues. They always go to guns, just like our president today had to take the opportunity in a tragedy to talk about an assault weapons ban. And I will remind you, yes, being a Second Amendment supporter, why we as a public allow our politicians to continue to use that word when assault rifles are not sold in the United States of America, right? Even in this case, which I believe was an AK-47 or some knockoff, while its name in Russian does stand for Assault Kalashnikov, Kalashnikov. My Russian's terrible, Johnny. Avtomat. Maybe if I try to say that. The ones that are legally purchased in America, AR-15s, which we always talk about, and AKs, are not assault weapons. They do not fire multiple rounds when you pull the trigger. They work like any other rifle. But hey, let's not talk about that because that's a fact and it's sad for me that people don't want to listen to the truth. In the end of the day, it was a rifle, as often happens in these situations, some handguns. And while people against the Second Amendment are going to run with the old assault thing, other people may run with the transgender thing. And I say, no. Let's run with the mental health thing. Why is this becoming something that people are driven to in their psyche and is very destructive? Premeditated in this case. I don't have that answer, but I know that it's mental health, and that isn't where we're putting our energies and resources. We're putting our energies in Second Amendment or not Second Amendment, which takes me to the NPR story in New Hampshire. Listen, nothing wrong. This highlighted an LGBTQ group, a gun club, just like a lot of Nebraskans belong to a gun club called Rainbow Reload. I think that's cool. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The club offers experts and the gun curious a chance to practice firearm skills in a supportive environment. And guaranteed, I actually saw some of the video. I mean, safety, as I always say, safety first. Learn your weapon system. Safety first. And learn what it can and can't do. So this very much is America and the Second Amendment. And No matter how you identify, you absolutely have that right. And I'm very glad that there are groups, just like any other gun club, that are bringing experts in to train people how to safely be around the firearm, how to safely take care of it, how to safely use it. Absolutely. And so I guess there's groups across the country, according to this NPR show, called Pink Pistols. Again, that's all good. Love it. You got no issues from me. Okay? Now, the problem I have in this NPR article, right, is the language of which, at least in this case, the author, Todd Bookman, decided to go with, or maybe it's just straight up what the people said. The goal is to prepare and protect people of the LGBTQ community from a rising chorus of threats against them, including those stemming from hate groups. Okay. I guess I can understand that because a lot of people get a weapon because of self-defense. So I can't really say, well, that's not good. But this I have a problem with. If the world is dangerous, then you have to be dangerous back. And that very much has pushed me to where I am now. Okay? And then another person. I went from concealed carry every once in a while when I was feeling it to every single day, explains someone who's recently transitioned. Because reading the news, having a few experiences, realizing that I've gone from old cis male, white, upper middle class, really no real fears about anything, to there are people just looking at me and they will want to hurt me. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. I think that is a very bad logic as to why you want to have a firearm and use it, you know, safely know how to use it. Back to what I was saying about fear and the COVID pandemic. Now, according to this, you know, small sample size in New Hampshire, but they decided to run with it on NPR. Now LGBTQ people need to fear from who and attacks, that they need to arm themselves. And, you know, there's been an uptick in hate crimes, and that uptick, you know, has been protesting drag times and drag shows. Protesting drag story time and drag shows, that's just protesting. I'm not saying there, you know, maybe in New Hampshire there's an uptick of violence. There hasn't been here. You know, the only hate type stuff I've seen in Lincoln, Nebraska was just the opposite, where conservatives were meeting and people were spray painting terrible words on buildings and calling people Nazis. And then there's always a reference to neo-Nazis. What planet are you living in New Hampshire? I don't know. Absolutely support the Second Amendment. Absolutely support anybody who wants to safely and legally purchase a firearm and then know how to use it. I support that for anybody. But the rhetoric that goes with that story and its timing, along with this thing that happened in Nashville, will just cause people on all sides of the aisle to try to bring that in. And when there's rhetoric around a group like in New Hampshire, well, then that just feeds to it. Which in the end, folks, what I'm saying is listen, Second Amendment, right to bear arms, absolutely. And what happened in Nashville is terrible. And it has nothing to do with whether they're transgendered or not. It has nothing to do with whether, you know, they had a rifle or not in its name. Because we don't sell assault rifles in America. We sell rifles that when you pull the trigger, one bullet goes out. So what Joe Biden's talking about banning, you know, one, I mean, you'd think he was smarter than that and his staff was smarter than that. And all Democrats should quit saying assault rifle. But it's a mental health problem. We have a mental health problem in America. And we absolutely have it around you know, these mass shootings. Maybe we should start spending some money on that. Just be my take. All right. A national story back to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I witnessed this when I was in the U.S. military. Listen, we can get our supply lines all messed up, and we cannot be prepared to defend the country based on political shenanigans playing around with the budget. And it has happened before, and I'm sure it will happen again. But you even have Democratic congressmen, excuse me, senators worried about this right now. Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, Democrat. I've been sounding the alarm for months about shortcomings and shrinkages in our defense production capacity. Supply chain issues are only part of the problem. Yeah. Well, he's referencing the fact that we are sending lots of arms to Ukraine and the military machine is falling behind on its own supply lines, which, you know, when called the task, can severely hamper a fighting force if needed. But as this article in the Center Square dictates, as the Pentagon struggles to fill military requests, funding goes to diversity, critical race theory, and DEIA. Well, what is DEIA? It's pretty simple. $500 million more is going to our Defense Department for diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility, training and programs, and addressing extremism in the ranks. I was in the military for 20 years, never saw extremism once. But I guess it's there magically. Anyway, I think it comes down to this great, great quote from the U.S. Military Academy. And for those of you that don't know, that is the institution that essentially produces a vast majority of our Army officers. But in fact, they are actually getting trained as part of these programs to learn about white privilege. And to warn each cadet to avoid gendered language such as mom and dad. Folks, what is going on? That makes no sense. And then last week here in Lincoln, the Lincoln Community Foundation, which has their Give to Lincoln Day, they decided to go woke. Usually, every nonprofit that's not affiliated with the church gets to participate. But this year, they went ahead and put out a diversity, equity, and inclusion affirmation. You had to read their affirmation statement to participate. And it's the first time they've ever done this, and say you agree. Well, why is this bad? Why is this bad that all of a sudden they added this in there? Well, because it generally targets faith groups, Christian groups and faith groups that have been in the top 25 over the last 5 years in helping with Give to Lincoln and being part of it. But now the Lincoln Community Foundation says, no, you've got to sign this. And then they're following the Southern Poverty Law and what they say is a hate group. We're going to break that down even more tomorrow. This drives me nuts, Lincoln. 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we're back. Tomorrow we're going to break this down a little bit further with what went on with the Lincoln Community Foundation and their Give to Lincoln. I mean, it's just, it's taken it to an extreme, meaning diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, that in and of itself, when we talk about it, whether it be the military, the, you know, the university, anywhere, There's some good tenets there. But like a lot of things lately, it's become weaponized. I would also say that the LGBTQ movement has been weaponized to some degree. And that's both sides of the political aisle, folks. So this is talking politics. Ultimately today, what I want you to remember is there's a school shooting in Nashville, and folks, this is about mental health. It's not about the guns. It's not about the transgender community. It's about the mental health issues we have. But we'll absolutely talk about that. I think we'll talk to tomorrow. It'll be a short show, but this annexation proposal that probably is done by now in city council. Who knows? We'll talk, see where it's at. It's just been an interesting development story as I got back and started reading about it, did my research, you know, kind of came around last October, and now it's kind of here out by 70th and 84th streets between Pine Lake and Yankee Hill. I just think it's an interesting story to talk about as Lincoln expands, and maybe we'll get there. Dustin, great shout out on the text line. I appreciate you saying that you think I'm greatly discounting the hate towards those groups out there. Yeah, but we'll talk about that some more tomorrow. Love to know. I don't see anything that it's any more or less than any other group, but that's my take. I'd love to hear more. But I appreciate you texting in. And thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow, 1499.3 KLIN.